Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And your girl, Love Love.
And this is the Mind His Business Show. We are so glad you are here with us. I'm getting my mics right. They sound a little loud today. Let's see if we can get that fixed here real quick. And while we're doing that, I just want to let you know that we appreciate you being here for Omaha's first, only, and dare I say best, urban 24/7 FM gospel radio station. We still, after over 8 years being online, almost 8 years, still have people asking us, is it internet radio? It's not just internet radio. It's actually FM. You can turn it on in your car. You can turn it on in your radio, and some people got radios in their showers.
Well, provided they're in Omaha and Council Bluffs.
Yes. Now, of course, we do have an online presence. Just go to gospelmusicomaha.com, and there's a big old button on there that says listen now. If you do that, whatever is on our FM station also runs on the internet, so you can hear us 24/7. Nice. Now, as of the time of recording this episode right here, we're going into the Superb Owl, otherwise known as the Super Bowl, ritual that we do every year. This is part of the weapons of mass distraction. As you know, the devil is always doing all kind of stuff, and he uses these major energy harvesting rituals as part of the distraction engine to keep us distracted away from the things that are really happening in the spiritual realm. So we definitely want to stay prayed up. I'm going to not watch it in real time because I don't want to lend my energy to any sort of worldwide satanic rituals, which every year the Superb Owl ritual is a ritual. We've done that in the past. In past Super Bowls, we've talked a little more in depth about the owl symbolism and what it means in the occult. And so I'm not going to spend any time going over that again. If you're listening to this during the morning show, you will already know who the winner is. So there's no need for me to go deeply into that, and we probably won't spend any time doing any decodes of the rituals that exist in not only the halftime show, but also in the commercials that get played during this time. The commercials themselves have a lot of occult symbolism and predictive programming inside of them. So there's a lot of things that happen in Satan's system and in his kingdom that he uses these mass events or these mass rituals in order to advance either revealing his methods or either programming individuals. And we know that we are supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. Right. Amen. Jesus says that I am the good shepherd. He says that my sheep hear my voice, and a voice of a stranger they will not follow. And so we must always stay vigilant to ensure that we are indeed always following the word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
I will say this, though. I think, now this is my prediction, not knowing, so y'all can get at me later if my prediction is wrong. I think, as of this recording right now, I'm recording this at 5:06 p.m. right before the everything gets going for the game. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win this year.
I don't. The Redskins, we taking it all the way.
You mean the Chiefs?
The Chiefs, yes.
Kansas City Chiefs?
Kansas City Chiefs. We taking it all the way.
Well, let me tell you.
Y'all know I have family there, and if I said anybody but Seattle Seahawks or them, there would be some problems.
Well, let me tell you why I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win this year. And I'm going to show it to you on the screen here for those of you that are watching on the video. I'm about to put it up here on the screen here real quick. The reason why I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win this year is because if you look here on the screen, let me make sure my screen is working. Yep, it is. I'm on the profootballreference.com website. And if you look at the win-loss record of the Philadelphia Eagles, you're going to find something very interesting. So for the Philadelphia Eagles, in their whole entire existence as a franchise, they have played 92 seasons from 1933 to 2024. Their win, loss, and tie record has been to date 638 wins, 639 losses and 29 ties. And of course, that does include 28 and 26 in the playoffs. Now, here's what I find interesting. If you look at their wins and their ties, let's add those two numbers together. 638 plus 27 ties comes up to 665, 665 wins and ties. If you look at their number of losses, they had 639 losses plus, let me clear that off, 639 plus 27 ties. That's 666 or 666. Yeah. So if they win today, their win and tie record will be 639 plus 27. That puts them at 666 total wins as a franchise, meaning wins and ties. And then their total number of losses and ties is also 666. Okay. And because we know that the superb owl annual worldwide ritual is occult in nature, mm-hmm. it makes sense to me that the Philadelphia Eagles would get the win tonight so that their total win and tie record is 666 and their total loss and tie record is 666.
Correct.
Exactly.
Correct.
So I think that there's definitely some spiritual significance going on, and it's always fun to speculate. Go ahead, love.
And of course, I don't want them to win. I don't want them to win because my family would be, they would be in uproar against me. But
now, y'all,
I do believe that everything that she has put together, I checked behind her, it is correct, 666. So they are in line with getting it if they try. If they try and they want it, they'll get it. But those numbers do add up. Yes, they do.
So basically, the next win that the Philadelphia Eagles has puts their win and tie record at 666.
Yep.
And also at the exact same time puts their loss and tie record at 666.
Right.
So that's why I think the Superb Owl win, not only will it put 666 on both their win and loss side, but it's also the biggest game of the year for the ritual, mm-hmm. which then also would be 666.
Right.
And if you really look into it, Philadelphia and Eagles, the eagle is one of the representations of America or United States. And right now, there seems to be a lot of things significantly happening politically around the world where the eagle is looking to reestablish its dominance on the global political stage. So that's why I think that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win. Now, if you're listening to this on the morning show and the Chiefs won, I will happily eat crow. I don't mind being wrong because this is just fun. Ain't no money on this. I'm not gambling. I'm not putting nothing on it and nothing like that. But
and
I'm just...
family don't come for me because I am, even though I don't, you know, it is what it is. I'm still saying it, okay?
So, who knows? Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I think all of these games are decided well in advance.
Oh,
if you look at the actual information, they call the NFL and the NBA and all those teams, they call them sports entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't call them sports because if it's entertainment, then you can make the storylines fit whatever it is you're trying to fit.
Mm-hmm.
So all y'all folks out there on FanDuel and you playing fantasy football and you playing and you down in Vegas and you putting money on the games and all this, just know that it's actual sports entertainment. They do not actually have to play the game actually according to the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it makes it look good if they make it look realistic, but it doesn't have to be because technically it's not sports, it's entertainment.
And don't act like y'all don't know that they have magnets and all types of no, seriously, come on now. Y'all didn't know that. If you didn't know it, you can look it up. There are magnets inside of the gloves. There are all, even some of it looks real and it's not. I mean, I hate to throw the curtain back from Oz, but the curtain behind the curtain, they have the spread a certain type of way. There's people that they have to am I lying, Jackie?
You're not lying.
There are ball clubs that have to be pleased and different things like that. for doing what they're doing, and that's how they
magnets. They use magnets in the balls,
yeah,
and sometimes magnets in the goalpost,
correct,
and sometimes magnets in the gloves,
correct.
All of these things.
That's the curtain behind Oz.
Yeah. So don't put no money on that, y'all. Okay. don't put no money on it. I got a video. As a matter of fact, let me show you a video
the
about.
Same as they said, presidents are selected, not elected. They're selected. These games and these players and these clubs are selected.
Let me show you a video. This is kind of short. This video is by a YouTuber named Jake the A-hole. And y'all can figure out the word there. Jake the A-hole is his name on YouTube. And he's got a short video here why it says the title of the video is "The NFL Uses Magnetic Gloves to Rig Football Games." So if you don't believe me, you can look it up here. And I'm going to turn down the music here and play this video. I'm going to try to crank it up in the house. So I'm going to turn some mics down and we'll pause some audio and we'll let this guy go so that you all can hear it. So let me turn it up in the house, turn the microphones down, and let's go.
The NFL is putting computer chips inside the game balls. Don't believe me? Google it. Now, I discussed in my last video that I believe that these computer chips can be turned into an electromagnet, and thus you can have the ball be manipulated with magnets and technology and cause, let's say, a field goal that was going to be good to bounce off the uprights instead. Now, this isn't the only way that this technology is being used. I also believe that this very same magnetic technology is being implemented into the players' gloves, especially wide receivers, making all those awesome one-handed to make much easier when the ball into their hands, literally.
Hi, I'm Colin Loeffler with the Minnesota Vikings, and this is the ultimate reception. Now every kid can catch like a pro. Come take a look.
Ultimate Reception is the most innovative youth sports entertainment product in years. Players using an Ultimate Reception football and gloves are so effective, they are not allowed in any high school or NCAA football game. Ultimate Reception features a patent-pending magnetic grip system that literally makes the ball stick to your hand. And with the smallest, strongest magnets in the world on your side, it usually only takes one hand.
All right, so subject one, what did you think about the Ultimate Reception?
It's amazing. You can't even drop it with the gloves. You make a lot of catches you weren't allowed to make without the gloves. It's pretty awesome.
So how easy did it make a catch in one-handed?
Stick your glove out there and the ball sticks to it.
Good deal.
We're in an NFL equipment room. This is the place where drops go by, where one-handed miracles happen every day. Do you know why? Because this is where they keep these new, stickier than a frog's tongue gloves. The NFL is in love with the gloves. The reviewers are raving. Wide receiver Hakeem Nicks.
He said, you don't even need to think about catching it.
You don't even need to think about catching it. Hall of Fame analyst John Madden. Pretty soon, these gloves are going to catch a ball without a hand in them.
I think a little grip is definitely, helps a little bit, especially when they're new. One hand is amazing, man. Amazing, man.
What do you mean?
It just sticks. It just sticks.
It sticks so often that the NFL is investigating whether these gloves make it too easy. The aluminum bat of the NFL?
No, I don't think. It's accessory. It's accessory.
It's not
He's
an
aid. He's from the Dolphins.
No. Because we've been going all over town, and some people are catching it pretty easy with these gloves. Like who? Like everybody. We started with the receivers at Miami's South Beach Senior High School, where we first asked them to make one-handed catches the old-fashioned way. Oh. We didn't see many. All right, High Tides, what's your record this year?
2-7.
2-7? We're going to get you better. This is our game plan. Sticky gloves. Let's do it. From here on in, you're going to catch every pass, every bus. You're going to catch colds you didn't even want to catch. This is going to do it. All ready? Gloves on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Gloves!
Look at that mess.
Yeah. Look at him, six in a row. And if you think gloves help on the football field, you ought to see what they do off it.
Notice how the ball snapped to the
fácil, Dios mío, super fácil.
Because let's face it, if somebody like me can do it, then you know it's too easy.
Beings that this magnetic grip technology has been proven to exist, I'm going to consider that the NFL does in fact use this technology in pivotal moments of games so that wide receivers, for instance, can make these amazing one-handed catches. People can say what they want about the NFL rigging games with refs. I say that they rig games in a multitude of ways. You can have refs throw bullshit flags just as easy as you can have a wide receiver make a fantastic one-handed catch with his magnetic gloves. And I even think that these gloves can be activated, as in turned on and off at key moments of the game. And furthermore, I think all the players and all the coaches are in on it, and everyone is involved. If they're getting a paycheck, they've signed a contract, they're involved. And if you're wondering, well, why hasn't anyone come out and said anything? Former players have come out and admitted that the league is rigged. Don't believe me? Google it.
Think about that, love.
It's facts. Like my son Ephraim tells me, facts. Facts.
That is wild. So
it's true.
What am I saying? I'm not trying to destroy your childhood.
I've been watching this with my dad all these years.
I'm not trying
don't
to
come telling me that.
Okay.
Get that out of here. You know how they do it.
I'm not trying to destroy anybody's childhood. I'm simply showing you that so much of what we see in this world system is it's an illusion. It's a deception on purpose. And it's designed to keep our eyes focused on the things of this world and not on things above, as the scripture tells us. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to have our minds stayed on Christ and have our attention on things above and not on the things of the earth. Maybe I'll pull that up. Have your minds, set your minds on things above and not on the earth. Let me pull that scripture verse up here, mm-hmm. and maybe that's a good place for us to start in terms of, as far as a scripture is concerned. There it is, Colossians 3, verse 2. So let me jump over there real quick and show that up here on the screen. And it says, starting in verse 1, Colossians 3, starting in verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, that's you and me, because we partake in the resurrection of Christ by believing on Jesus as our Savior. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mm-hmm. The next verse is kind of nice, actually. Mortify or put to death or murder, therefore, your members which are upon the earth.
Right.
Meaning fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Yep. That means improper or inappropriate affection. Evil concupiscence and that's a big word. Let's see what it means. It means a longing for or desire or lust. So lustfulness. Mm-hmm. It's talking about lustfulness. So he's saying, let's put away fornication, uncleanness, inappropriate affections, lust, and covetousness, which is idolatry, right. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. That means some of us struggled with those things before we came to Christ, but now also put off these things as well: anger, wrath, Malice, which is that desire for revenge or sabotage. Mm-hmm. Blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. But circling back to the headline there, set your mind on things above and not on the things of this earth.
And it says in certain areas, set your affection. Do you know what your affection means?
That's verse 2.
Right.
Perfect. To set your affection, you know, what do you love? When you think of something with affection, it's something that, oh man, I just really love this ice cream or my dog or football or my favorite game on PlayStation or whatever. There's nothing to matter with enjoying life. In other verses of in other passages of scripture, Jesus says he has given us life, and that life more abundantly,
yes,
that life to the full. And he wants us to enjoy life. But what he is saying here in this passage is that enjoy your life, but set your mind and your focus and your affection and your attention ultimately on things above and not be stuck in these things of this earth, because the things of this earth are going to pass away. They are not going to prevail in the end, but only what you do for Christ and only what is in Christ will last at the end of the day. And so we want to enjoy life and have a good time, but we don't want to be so fixated and focused on it and love it so much that we cannot extract ourselves from the deeper things of God. So that's about all I got to say about the Super Bowl, but I thought you guys would like to see that and find that interesting, and hopefully you didn't lose no money on the game.
But if you especially did, shouldn't have did it in the first place. Shouldn't have did it.
Especially now that you know that there is a very real possibility that these matches, especially at this level, I would have a hard time believing that they don't rig games at this level, because there's so much on
it. Millions of
millions
dollars.
And maybe probably even billions of dollars that are riding on it. So that's all I got to say about that. The other thing that we're going into this week is so-called Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. That's coming up this week. And for most of us, we don't think too deeply about these other sorts of rituals. We don't think of the Super Bowl as being a yearly ritual, but it is. Same thing with the Grammys, which mm-hmm. happened recently, the Oscars, the mm-hmm. BET Awards, the NAACP mm-hmm. Awards, mm-hmm. Political elections. And then you have all of the holidays that we observe in America, whether it's Valentine's Day, what's some of the other holidays? Easter, Christmas, St. Patrick's Day.
All the pagan holidays, okay? They're pagan, and I know you said, oh, I'm not going to let nobody ruin my joy. I'm not trying to ruin your joy. If you want to celebrate it, you go right ahead, okay?
So all of these things, and notice, I didn't just say holidays alone, but there are other things that we also celebrate as rituals that aren't holidays. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl being one, the elections, national elections, that would be one. All of the award shows, as I mentioned. So it's more than just, oh, I don't celebrate Christmas. Oh, I don't celebrate Easter. Oh, I don't celebrate Halloween. Oh, I don't celebrate. Yes, those things, we can acknowledge the underlying basis for where a lot of those came from. And that it is good to know those things. But I also think it's important that we understand that we live in this world, but not of this world. And we cannot control what everyone in the world chooses to worship or chooses how to celebrate or to do things. We cannot enforce that on other people, especially non-believers.
Yeah.
And we cannot even enforce that on other believers. Did you know that?
No, because sometimes the only time y'all get together is if y'all have a Super Bowl. Some of y'all won't even come together unless it's
I think there's a balance there. There's a passage in Romans, I believe it's Romans, where Paul talks about not using your freedom as an occasion to cause someone else to stumble who may be weaker in the faith. And maybe I'll bring that up, because some of us, we have done a little bit more deeper research, and we found the pagan origins of all the sports teams and the major events, right, and the holidays. And, right, and when you start seeing those things, sometimes you have a tendency when you first learn that stuff that you want to let everybody know, oh my gosh, you know, Valentine's Day is pagan. Halloween is pagan. and you start running around and really trying to pressure people about whether or not they should observe these different occasions. And my answer to that is this passage in Romans, where it talks about not using your freedom as to,
right,
offend your weaker brother.
Right.
And let me pull that up.
In other words, it's not worth dying on that hill. Okay. It's not worth,
well,
it.
Well, what it is that each person has to be accountable to their understanding of the word and the conviction and prompting of the Holy Spirit. For example, Christmas. For some people, Christmas totally pagan. They won't have anything to do with it. Don't want a Christmas tree in the house. Don't want lights. Don't want any of that. Mm-hmm. Other people say, yeah, I know that those things came from pagan origins, but so did probably a whole bunch of other things that we do and engage in every day that we're not aware of. But what does Christmas mean to me? It means the acknowledgement of Christ. It's in the name Christmas, Christmas. And for me, it means to acknowledge and celebrate and appreciate the fact that God did humble himself to take on flesh and come down to save the entire world from sin. And that's something that that person may want to acknowledge. And it's neither here nor there, other than what an individual's own conviction is about that matter, because you're not going to go to heaven or go to hell based on whether or not you celebrate a particular holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You are responsible, however, to follow the word as best you understand it and to lead and listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit for mm-hmm. your own life, and
right.
draw the line where the Holy Spirit convicts you to draw that line. So let me pull up that verse in Romans here real quick. And it is, I think it's Romans 14. Let me roll in here and let's see where we're at here. Yeah, Romans 14. So let's jump there and take a look at that. And I'm setting the table here because we're going to talk a little bit about the underpinnings of Valentine's Day and some of the pagan origins of that. And I don't want you to be discouraged and say, well, I ain't getting nothing from my wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband on Valentine's Day because Lady Jane Love said this, that. That's not what we're saying. All we're doing is giving information and allowing you to prayerfully consider one way or the other. If the Holy Spirit convicts you one way or the other, it's totally fine. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other, because for a lot of people, that taking that time to specifically celebrate love of their loved ones is a healthy and a good and a positive thing. We need more actual, real, biblical style love in the world.
It's something that normally some of you wouldn't even do unless it was this time of the year.
Exactly. So we're not discouraging or encouraging whether or not you observe Valentine's Day or express your love to your family members or your loved ones. What I would say is that make sure you take some time to show your love to Christ on Valentine's Day, as well as every other day, all the other 360 plus days of the year.
Right.
You should be acknowledging and expressing your love and your faith in Christ every day. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that God is love.
Yes,
it doesn't say that God has love. God is love. God is love personified. The true love of God is greater than the love of humanity. And unfortunately, Satan in this world has manipulated the definition of love to basically mean tolerance of whatever anybody else wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are mm-hmm. no boundaries and no standards attached to that. But mm-hmm. that is not biblical love at all.
Nope.
That's actually something very different. But real quick, jumping over here to Romans chapter 14. This is just a good reminder. Don't beat somebody over the head. If you celebrate Valentine's Day and they say, no, it's pagan, I'm not celebrating it.
Both of you consult
the word and consult the Holy Spirit and then govern yourselves accordingly. Your salvation is not going to be determined by whether or not you do that. So he's talking here in Romans 14. Mm-hmm. He says, him that is weak in the faith, receive him. So receive the person that is weak in the faith. but not to doubtful disputations. That's a big fancy old school way of saying, don't waste your time with people that just want to constantly cast doubt about your faith. If your faith in Christ is secure, then even if someone comes to you and their faith is not as strong as yours, you can still receive them. But don't let the person in your life that's constantly making you question whether or not you should stay faithful to Christ or not. That person is giving you a doubtful disputation, and that's not the person you want to receive. But it's okay to receive someone who maybe they're not as mature in the faith, or their faith is not as strong as yours, but they have faith in Jesus and they're doing their best to express their faith. That person you receive. He says in verse 2 of Romans 14, for one person believes that he may eat all things, and another one who is weak eats herbs. Mm-hmm. In modern times, we would say
they're not going to eat the oink oink.
One person is, you know, they are okay with eating any kind of meat. And then another person, oh, they're just a vegan, vegetarian. They won't eat no meat. That's basically what it's saying. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about this in the context of food. But the principle can be applied toward many things, whether it's celebration of holidays and so on. And that's why we chose this passage. So he says, for one believes that he can eat everything. And the other one, who's weak, well, they're just a vegetarian or a vegan. Because they don't want to eat what they consider to be unclean.
Or some of them decide they don't want to eat because they don't want to get fat. They could have ulterior motives, okay? There can be lots of ulterior motives as well.
And so, continue on, he says, let not him that eats despise him that eats not. In other words, if you cool with the bacon, don't despise the person that don't want to eat the bacon.
Because it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, but what comes out.
And he
says, a lot of times.
And let not him which does not eat judge him that does eat. For God has received him. In other words, if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, you should not pressure or look down upon someone who still eats meat.
Let me stick it a little closer, okay? There are some people that says halal meat. They will not eat halal meat because it's been prayed over and sacrificed to idols. If that's all the meat you have, okay, or someone's doing it, just don't. Pray over your food. If you think it's sacrificed to idols and rituals and things of that nature, but that's all that's there, because David ate the showbread. You know what the showbread is? Explain what the showbread is, Jackie.
Well, it's the bread that was on the altar.
Right.
So
can you believe took the bread from the altar and consumed it? Okay.
Hey, he was hungry.
He was, you know.
But so this passage, Paul is describing a principle, and he's using whether or not you eat meat as an example to show how we as believers may have some convictions that differ a little bit on the non-essentials. Mm-hmm. He's not talking about the essentials. He's already established that this is all about faith in Christ. This is about the things that matter for your salvation. Believing in the actual deity and divinity and co-eternal nature of Jesus as the second in the Godhead, that is an eternal identifier of whether or not you are a believer or not, or whether you're in heresy or not. That is a salvation defining issue. Mm-hmm. He's not talking about that here. He's assuming that everyone has those sorts of understandings the same, but they have differences in some of their personal convictions. Maybe you are a Christian, but you are a Democrat. And maybe your friend is a Christian, but they are a Republican. That should not prevent us from fellowshipping one another if we both believe in Christ. You get it? Some people say, well, if you don't believe the way we believe politically, then we can't get along. And that's not right either. So those are the sorts of principles that he's bringing out in this passage. So moving on, he says, let not him that eats despise him that doesn't eat the meat, and let not him which doesn't eat the meat judge the one that does eat the meat, for God has received him. Who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yes, he will be held up, for God is able to make him stand. In other words, if we're both serving God, it's none of our business how God has convicted that other person to live out their conscience regarding the issue. And likewise, they should not judge you on your conscience for how the Holy Spirit is leading you on that particular issue. So in verse 5, he says, one man esteems one day above another, and another one esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. That I think what comes to mind there is things like, should you go to church on Saturday or Sunday?
I used to be a Seventh-day Adventist, so I can attest to that. But honey, when you really know King Jesus,
you know that Jesus serve himself is the Sabbath rest of the Lord.
That's right. He's the Sabbath. And you have to remember, too, these days they have a mixed up. Some people say it's every 12 days, 10 days. I mean, come on now. We know what has happened. And that's purposeful, what has happened. And it's a very sad thing that has happened. But all in all, King Jesus has to be your focus of attention. And you have to be... what's the word I want to use? Very receptive. And you have to be very understanding of his word and of other people.
So he that regardeth the day regards it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eateth not the meat to the Lord, he eateth not and give God thanks. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, you know, don't get caught up on that stuff. If you see someone that doesn't do it the way you do it.
Nowadays, okay? You better pray over everything because you don't know what it is. I looked at something. It was some fish, wasn't it, Jackie? It was we were at some fast food place. It was a sit down pasta place. And I bent that meat and I was like, I don't know what this is. I said, what is this? So you really do have to pray over your food. You really do.
So I'm just going to round this out, and then we're going to go to a video about Valentine's Day, because we're setting the table to talk about the pagan origins of Valentine's Day. And we're not saying it to discourage or encourage you one way or the other, but simply to put the information out there and allow the Holy Spirit be your guide.
Yeah, to bring the awareness to it, okay?
So in verse 8, Romans 14:8, he says, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Mm-hmm. For to this end, Christ both died, rose, and revived, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why have you set at naught your brother? Why are you at odds with him? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to leave it there, because there's plenty more that we could really unpack out of that passage. But that's good enough just to have the idea that you're going to come across people that say, oh, do the holidays. And then other people, no, don't do the holidays. Or, you know, watch the Super Bowl. And then other people, no, don't watch the Super Bowl. And so you've got all of these mixture of things.
Now, there are rituals going on.
There are rituals going on. The Holy Spirit can easily show you, if you prayerfully say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes to see what's really happening here.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is quite capable of doing that. And then you may feel a little differently. I'll give you an example. When we went to the Grammys, so as you know, Love and myself were both competing in various categories for the Grammys in the 2012 Grammys. This was the year that Whitney Houston passed away. And it was super exciting. It was a fantastic experience, one that I'm really glad I had. We got to walk the red carpet. We got to be in arm's length of so many different celebrities. We got to dress up and look gorgeous. And it was... it was just a really grand experience. It was great. It was something that I'm really glad that I did. But big B-U-T in there. When we were sitting in the audience of the actual televised event, there was an artist that came on the stage named by the name of Nicki Minaj, who many of you have heard of. And literally, she did a satanic ritual on the stage, and we were in the audience for it.
An alter ego named Roman.
Yeah, and it was all red and black, and there was flames, and then they had her levitating with wires, of course, but they had her levitating as though it were a true satanic ritual. And by us being in the audience of that ritual, I felt convicted by the Holy Spirit to say, by me being present during this ritual, it's as though I am either co-signing it, or I'm being a part of it, or I'm being witness to it. And I did not feel good about that at all. And I said, that probably won't be something I would do again, because I don't want to, by me being present, say that I'm giving my approval or my agreement
or your
to
energy.
These rituals
or
that,
like
that were being performed, because I am not a child of Satan. I am a child of Christ. Mm-hmm. And for me, if I were to have the opportunity to go to the Grammys again, I would probably 99% sure that I would turn it down, because now I know more and the Holy Spirit has convicted me. And he said, that's a line that for you personally, mm-hmm. you go ahead and draw that line. And that's just something that's not for you. Now, that's not to say that I would tell any other Christian, don't go. But I would say, this is my testimony of my experience, and based on everything I know about the Word of God and my walk with Christ that's been over 40 years with Christ now, I would definitely say it probably wouldn't be a good idea to go. Yeah. But I would have to tell you, you'll have to follow your own conviction on that. Mm-hmm. When I was a young believer, way back in the day, I had a personal conviction to not attend any rated R movies. Mm-hmm. And that used to be a very strong conviction of mine. Nope, I'm not going to any rated R movie, because I didn't feel like that was right. And at that time in my life, the Holy Spirit convicted me in that direction. As I got older, I relaxed on that a bit. And so I do and have watched things that would be considered rated R today.
Or risque, maybe.
And for those things, you know, it's a continually evolving line of conviction for me personally, because there are some things that I just won't watch. Now, there's some things I will watch, but when it comes to things like American Horror Story or anything related to satanic rituals, paranormal, any sort of supernatural, spiritual type of horror things, I just flat, now that's my line now. Nope. I may watch something that is more for mature audiences, because I like the storytelling, but I will not watch things that are overtly witchcraft, covens, Satanism, witches. I just won't do any of that, because I don't want to give my approval or my assent or my agreement, coming into agreement with what that is on the screen. For some of you, you can watch that and the Holy Spirit hasn't yet addressed that particular conviction in your life. What I would say is that if you truly are a believer in Jesus, as we are all saying that we are, I challenge you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you a sensitivity to his spirit, mm-hmm. to alert you to things that he may want you to crucify in your life, or he may want you to cut out of your life, so that you can be more sensitive to the word and the spirit. So that will be my encouragement to you, not to prescribe to you one way or the other, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, but to encourage you or challenge you, ask the Holy Spirit to say, Jesus, I want to be more like you. I want to be more in line with your word. I want to reflect you better. I want to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If there's something that is in my life that is not in alignment with that, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal that to me and impress upon my conscience, so that I can be remove or prune from my life anything that you don't want me to be engaged with, so that I can continue to grow in my walk with you. And I guarantee you, you'll find some things you get convicted about you weren't even expecting to be convicted about. We all think about the big stuff, you know, cussing or smoking or drinking, or we think about the big stuff, but you might get convicted by something that you're like, really? Man, I didn't even realize that I was behaving in a jealous way about X, Y, or that I was being prideful when I did this thing over here. I mean, man, it's a gutsy prayer when you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal yourself to you And I guarantee you there's going to be some things in your life you're not going to like it when he shows it to you. But he's showing it to you because he is love. Remember when we said earlier, God doesn't just have love. He is love. Well, and because he is love, he will shine his light on all of those things that are yes.
Deep. Well, the word of God says those who he loves, we're talking about King Jesus now, those who he loves, he chastens. Mm-hmm. If he don't chasten you, then you're none of his. You don't belong to King Jesus. If he's not chastening you and getting after you about the things that you're doing, and you just think that having sex all the time, and I can have sex with whoever I want to, not just my wife, but hey, we have an open relationship and I can go have sex with this person and this person. They don't feel nothing about it. Okay. You need to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
So I'm going to jump into this Valentine's Day video. It's not too long. I'll try to skip to the parts that are the most meatiest, I guess you could say. So I'm going to turn off this music here and turn down our mic, and we're going to just kind of walk through this video and pull some things out of it that we will really enjoy. So let me jump over here. Give me one moment while I pause that out and turn down the microphones, and here we go.
Is a Valentine's story.
Ah, February. Love is in the air. Every year around this time, Americans flock to the nearest Walmart and spend their hard-earned money on stuff they don't need. According to the National Retail Foundation, Americans are poised to drop a cool $19.6 billion on Valentine's Day this year. But why? Where does this holiday come from, and why do so many people celebrate it? As it turns out, the truth about Valentine's Day is far more sinister than most people realize. To find its true origins, we must go all the way back to ancient Babylon. It is here where the figure we know as Cupid emerges. The name Cupid comes from the Latin verb cupere, meaning to desire. Cupid was the son of Venus, the Roman goddess of beauty and love. Originally known as Tammuz and Ishtar, this mother and son couple are the progenitors of all pagan religions on earth.
Now, did you hear that? It's a mother and a son couple. Talk about incest. Continue.
Earth today. In this ancient this mother and son couple are the progenitors of all pagan religions on earth today. In this ancient Babylonian writing, we can see the true identity of Tammuz revealed. Quote, "The little demons and the great demons cried aloud. Demons and their companions cried aloud. Our heroic lord, he who was seized away, forsake us not. Tammuz, our lord, was seized away, forsake us not." End quote. Yes, you heard that correctly. Tammuz is being referred to as the Lord of Demons. In this 1914 book entitled Tammuz and Ishtar, the author S. Langdon gives us more detail about the true identity of Tammuz. Quote, "The litanies and the theological lists refer to Tammuz by a title which occurs as frequently as any other, and which I have reserved for a separate treatment, for in this title, we have evidence that this deity was connected with serpent worship. It is true that this connection is to be prehistoric and one which was forgotten in the age when our sources begin. For not only is Tammuz called the great serpent dragon, but the same title is more than once applied to the mother goddess herself. The title in Sumerian is God, a name which is regarded by the theologians apparently as the most important of all the titles of Tammuz. The name should mean the great serpent of heaven." End quote. The great serpent of heaven. Where have we heard that before? Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Mythology describes Tammuz as having both a personality. He would use his invisible arrows tipped with gold to strike unsuspecting men and women, causing them to fall in love. He did not do this for their benefit, but to drive them crazy with intense passion and to make their lives miserable and laugh at the results. Famously, Tammuz used the love arrow on his own mother, causing her to fall madly in love with him. Mother and son got married, and the story of Cupid was born. In Babylonian religion, the earth goddess was regarded as the mother and wife of Tammuz. That the son should be also the lover of the goddess is explained on the assumption that in ancient society, the imperial power descended through the female line. In that case, the heir to a throne is the daughter of a king. To retain a throne, the son of a king must marry his sister, or, failing a sister, his own mother. In the Sumerian myth, we have both circumstances represented. In the Egyptian version, Isis is a sister of her husband Osiris. In Sumer, the original myth represented the mother goddess as the mother of Tammuz, end quote.
Now, further down in the story, as Tammuz grows and becomes a man, Tammuz actually marries his mother, and they have a very sexual relationship. And that baby Tammuz and his mother Semiramis is where you get the story of Cupid.
So now that we know where Cupid comes from, let's take a look at Valentine's Day itself.
The association between mid-February and romance goes back to a pagan festival known as Lupercalia, likely honoring either Lupa, the she-wolf of Rome, who suckled Romulus and Remus, or the god of fertility. The festivities began with an animal sacrifice. Then the ritualistic slapping of young women with strips of the animal's skin and blood to bestow fertility for the coming year.
Alberta Mildred Franklin, 1821 book entitled The Lupercalia, quote, "These occasions are celebrated by the worshippers with extravagant orgies of mourning and of joy. In the death and the resurrection of the deity, the people find assurance of human immortality. Much of the homage offered by this agricultural people to its earth goddess consists of fertility charms to arouse the dormant powers of productivity or to secure rain for the crops. But often, the goddess withholds her blessing and sends barrenness, blight, and pestilence upon her people. To avert these destructive forces and to set free all beneficent activities, the devotees resort to strange orgiastic practices. Often, they seek to propitiate the dread goddess by the sacrifice of a human being," end quote. Most people are completely unaware of this link between human sacrifice and Valentine's Day. Let's continue. Pausanias, an ancient Greek geographer and historian, tells us that, quote, "A child was sacrificed, his blood sprinkled upon the altar, and his entrails tasted sacramentally by the priest. Thereupon, say the legends, he who had tasted the entrails was transformed into a werewolf for a period of 9 years," end quote. Werewolves, human sacrifice, incest, and orgies, these are all reasons why we should avoid celebrating Valentine's Day, but we're not done yet. As mentioned, the Romans celebrated Lupercalia to honor the hunter god Lupercus. To the Greeks, from whom the Romans had copied most of their mythology, Lupercus was known as Pan, the god of light. The Phoenicians worshipped the same deity as Baal, the sun god. Baal was one of many names or titles for Nimrod, a mighty hunter, especially of wolves. Defying God, Nimrod was the originator of the Babylonian mystery religions, whose mythologies have been copied by the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, and a multitude of peoples around the world. Under different names or titles, Pan, Lupercus, Saturn, Osiris, Tammuz, Nimrod is the strongman and the hunter-warrior god of the ancients. Now, let's move on to the heart symbol and why we associate it with Valentine's Day and love. The title Baal means Lord or Master, and is mentioned throughout the Bible as the god of the pagans. God warned his people not to worship or even tolerate the ways of Baal. In the ancient Chaldean language, which is the original language of the Babylonians, Baal, which is similar to Baal, meant heart. So there you have it, historical proof that the holiday we know as Valentine's Day is nothing but an ancient ritual repackaged for modern times.
In the 5th century, perhaps in an effort to Christianize the pagan festival, Pope Gelasius declared February 14th as St. Valentine's Day. As for the real St. Valentine, there were reportedly several canonized by the church. Legend has it that one St. Valentine, a defiant Roman priest, lived during the 3rd century AD under Emperor Claudius II. Claudius was an ambitious ruler, His battles required vast armies of men to abandon their young families for long periods of time, resulting in a military that was half-hearted and homesick. So determined was Claudius to stop love from sapping the will of his armies, he banned marriages altogether. Father Valentine thought the ban unjust and defied the emperor, continuing to marry young lovers in secret. The emperor eventually caught on to the priest's actions, arrested him, and sentenced him to death.
Is that not wild?
Okay.
So,
okay.
I'm not playing or putting that out there to, again, mess up anybody's childhood or make you feel bad if you celebrate Valentine's Day, because I know me, I plan on telling my mama happy Valentine's Day and that I love her and I'm so glad that she's still here. There are family members and friends that I do like to acknowledge my positive feelings toward them, and that's what it means to me personally. I do not accept the pagan origins of all of that, but for some of us that might actually be a conviction that the Holy Spirit may give to you, and if so, follow your conviction. By the way, for those of you that wanted to know where that video was on YouTube, it's a YouTuber called End Times Productions. So the name of the YouTuber that put that video together, it's called End Times Productions, and they have very good videos that talk about lots of different subjects. And I try to put you guys on with a lot of the Christian Truth channels that are out there that are doing great work with exposing darkness and encouraging us in the faith in these last days and keeping us abreast of things that are happening. So if you are listening to this and you have celebrated Valentine's Day, or you plan to go with God according to your own conscience, if you haven't told your wife, girlfriend, husband, boyfriend, son, uncle, whoever, if you haven't told that person you love them recently, now's as good a time as any to do it. And you should not need a special day to acknowledge someone that you love. As a matter of fact, you should be telling the person that you love often, and not just by your actions only, but by your words as well. We all like to hear and know and be appreciated specifically, and know that we are acknowledged and we are seen, we're heard, we're loved. We need more love in this world. So if it takes you buying some flowers and candy on Valentine's Day,
stop being cheap. Just stop being cheap.
If it takes you doing that in order to give you some motivation or give you a target for expressing your love, because some of us are not very expressive with our love, and if you need that target in order to do that, then by all means, I would rather that you express your love for your loved one than not expressing your love for your loved one and then using that excuse as, well, you know, it's pagan, and so that's why I didn't get you nothing for Valentine's Day, when really it was just like Love said, you just cheap and didn't want to do it, and so you decided to use that as your excuse. That's not what we're talking about here. It's important that we take time to express to our loved ones that we love them while they're still alive, able to hear it, and we're able to still give them that hug or give them that phone call or send that text or send that message on Messenger or shout them out on social media. Whatever it is, it's a good thing to express our love. Jesus said that they will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. That's in John 14:15. Mm-hmm. He also said, greater love has no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. Right. So
Jesus laid down his life for us because he truly loved us.
So God's kind of love is a love that is giving. It is selfless. It is encouraging. It is edifying. It builds people up. You can show love all the time to your friends, your loved ones, even strangers. I know there's a little practice that I do that I don't talk about very much, but let's say I'm in the coffee shop or something and someone walks by me and they got I think their outfit looks nice or their hair looks nice or whatever. If I think it, I actually say it. Man, you know, I just love the way you rocking that jacket today. That looks really good. And not because I want anything from them, I need anything from them. I'm not even looking for them to say thank you. It's just simply, if I had a positive thought on my mind about someone and the compliment was in my head, I take that 2 seconds to brighten their day and just say so. And I think that's important that we spread more love around the world. I just want to encourage you, don't always just wait for a special occasion or a special date to do it. We should be expressing the love of Christ every day.
Well, kind of the way I see it is this, is first of all, I want to say hi. Hi back to you. Hi. You know, there are times when you don't have money. You've got to understand, now for me, this is me. I'm not saying that acts of service are the deal, but for me, don't tell me you love me, but you trying to put your hands on somebody, okay? You trying to hit somebody, hurt somebody. You know, don't tell me, show me that you love me. And I think that that is what a lot of men do because they're working, aren't they, Jackie? Mm. They're working. They're working. They're paying the bills. Well, you don't ever tell me you love me, but you see me out here working and everything else. There's nothing the matter with a woman affirming a man, okay? Affirming your husband, okay? Affirming your wife for them, or showing them that you love them in that way. And sometimes there are some people that just need to hear it, Jackie.
Yes.
There's sometimes they just need to hear it. Notice the word I said, need. You know, sometimes you get so caught up on everything and, you know, I'm working. Don't you see I love you by what I'm doing for you and everything else? But there's nothing the matter with you looking at your wife or looking at your husband and meaning it, saying it to them, I love you. And not only that, but not only do I love you, but I'm in love with you, which is a continuous type of love. It's not a one-time thing. It's I'm going to continue to love you. Not just, you know, saying it and now I can get out of here now that I've said it. No.
I can check that box off. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good. That's good. So love your loved ones. Jesus even said, love your enemies, which, boy, that's tough. Now, that's a tough one right there. But mm-hmm. Not even focusing on that. Love is so powerful. It is such a powerful motivating force. Tell your children that you love them. Give them a hug. Look them in the eyes and say, I love you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're my child. I'm proud of you. I mean, these things go so far.
Yeah, especially fathers to your sons. You know, you sit up there and tell them, I'm not going to tell them that because, you know, they'll P-U-N-K. That'll P-U-N-K them out. You know what I'm saying? No, it will not. There's nothing the matter with you. Matter of fact, you got some pride if you can't form your lips to say, son, I love you. Daughter, I love you. There's something the matter with you. You're the one that has the problem.
So just encourage you, you know, for everybody out there, this is not about celebrating Valentine's Day, but this is just Lady J simply saying, I love you. I love each and every one of you. I appreciate you spending your time to actually listen to this content that we create, that we have been doing tirelessly from love. And I don't just only mean our show. I mean everything we do at the radio station. We are doing it for you because we want to be a blessing to you. And I love you for receiving what it is that we have to offer mm-hmm. by our way of showing that we love you as an individual. We love this city. Mm-hmm. We love our nation. We love the world. And we want to express that love outwardly. And so I'm just taking a moment to say right now, I love you. And thank you for being a listener and a supporter of this radio station. That's about all I got. You got anything else, love, before we get on out of here?
I don't, I'm not a person who just likes to say it. I like to show it, and I like to let you know that I love you as well. I love you with an everlasting love. I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you with that kind of love, because my love, I don't know if my love would be even sufficient enough for you. I just don't know that. Sometimes I don't know that. But I love you with everything that I have in me, because the Word of God says, love you with the love of the Lord. Love you with the love of King Jesus. No greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend, for a friend. He calls us, King Jesus calls us friends. Jackie, I call you best friend. So yeah. you know I'd lay down my life for you, right?
Yeah, I think
you know I would really stomp a person over you. Y'all don't play. I think you know that.
Yeah, I think I'm a keep. Yeah.
And I think other people know it too, because they've been stomped by me before. You know who you are. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I think on that note.
No, I'm not finished yet. I think you know who you are. I think people know too that when I love deep. And I do my very, very best by whether I prepare food for you or whatever it is that I have to contribute. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. Mama Gines, I love you. I love you, Mama Gines. I love you with an everlasting love. Had to tell Mama that.
Well, there you go.
Because she's definitely in my heart and on my heart. And just wanted you to know that. Because she's just been so good to us, Jackie. She's been so good to us. And so we love you with an everlasting love.
And on that note, we're going to leave that love right there and put a period on the end of that. Thank you so much for listening to the Mind His Business Show. Ooh. If you want to hear this again, go to mindhisbusiness.com. All of our episodes are uploaded there each week. Also, make sure you continue to listen to our morning show Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. right on 100.3 FM. We yes. rebroadcast this every week. So if there's something we said, you want to hear it again, yes. you'll be able to hear it
we
again.
We are
on
terrestrial.
The show.
We are a terrestrial radio station. How many of you know that? We are terrestrial. We're not just, come on, Jackie.
Yep.
Oh, somebody's speaking right here.
They said hi. I'm Who? Saying hi back.
Who?
Oh, I can't read it from here. I got old lady eyes. Hold on. I don't know.
I'm bringing closer. Hold on. Because I do want y'all to know that we are here and we see you.
Yes. We'll read.
Whose name is that?
April. I can't read the rest.
Okay. Well, we love you, April.
And we love
Thank
the rest
Thank you for joining
you.
Us. Thank We're you, gonna everybody.
Go ahead and roll off for now. I'm yes. Lady J.
And I'm Love Love.
We'll talk to you next time.
Ciao.